ahead and get your Bible if you would. And I'd ask you to take your Bible tonight and just remain seated and go to Ephesians chapter 6. Now, you know that we have been studying the whole armor of God, as you find in Ephesians chapter 6. Tonight, we're just going to cover one piece, and then hopefully Sunday night, Lord willing, we will finish our study on the armor of God. Remember, I said that you have to put this armor on. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Don't leave off a piece just because it's uncomfortable. We're going to speak about an uncomfortable piece here tonight that may save your life if you put it on, if you go into battle. But because I remember when I was in boot camp, I never went, I was just in the National Guard, and I never went full time. I was never in war like some of you were. But I know one thing, I hated that stupid helmet. That thing was so heavy and burdensome, I didn't like it. I'd rather wear the rucksack any day than that stupid helmet, that thing when you march it on your head. It might be pretty good if somebody shot at you, though. And we're going to talk about the helmet of salvation here tonight, which is a very important piece of the armor. Remember, what's happening here is Paul is taking the physical armor that a first century Roman soldier would put on if he was going to fight a physical fight. And he's making a spiritual comparison to each piece of that armor that we are to spiritually put on, and we spiritually put on to fight a spiritual enemy. Remember that I said our enemy is the devil and spiritual wickedness in high places. And he's running this world. He's the god of this world, the Bible said. And you can't shoot the devil. You can't shoot unclean spirits. I wish you could take a bomb and drop on the devil. I wish you could shoot him with a gun, but that won't do a bit of good. You have to have spiritual weaponry to fight a spiritual battle. And so we've covered several pieces. Last Sunday night, if you were here, you know that we covered verse number 15, where we talked about having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then we went to verse number 16, where we said, above all, he said, the most important thing when you're under attack is to have that shield of faith. And the Bible actually says there, that it will quench the fiery darts of the devil. Whatever dart he's shooting at you. And by the way, if you remember, I talked about the fact that he knows which one to grab in that quiver to shoot at you. He's not going to shoot the same arrow at me that he would Brother Matheson or Brother Tim or Sister Darby. He knows what arrow is going to be difficult for me. He knows which one to grab out, and he knows which one is going to be more detrimental to you. All of us have different temptations. All of us have different struggles. All of us have different weaknesses. But the devil knows which one your weakness is. He's not going to dangle the same kind of carrot in front of me that he would you. But he knows which one to get you. Believe you me, he knows. He's smart. He's had 6,000 years to deal with the human mind. You take all the great supposed brilliant psychologists and psychiatrists of the day, put them all in one big heap, and they don't know one thousandth of what the devil knows about the human mind. Most psychologists don't even know what a man is. If you go to see a psychologist or a psychiatrist, and he can't help you a bit if he don't even know what a man is. A man is a body, soul, and a spirit, and most of them don't even know that. So how is he going to help you in counseling if he don't even know what you are? You're a body and a soul and a spirit. The devil knows what you are, and he knows how to get a hold of your weaknesses. So tonight we're going to cover verse number 17, just the first part of that, and then we'll finish up Sunday night, Lord willing. And where he says, and take, verse number 17, and take the helmet of salvation. You're going to put it on. As a matter of fact, that's the last piece you put on before you pick up an offensive weapon. See, the very last weapon that we're going to look at is the sword. You pick that up for offense, but everything else is for defense. And the last thing you put on, the last thing you put on is you put that helmet on before you go into battle. Now, that thing there was called the Roman Gallia. You've seen those helmets, haven't you? And it's got those helmets, if you watched any of those movies, that thing, you know that red thing that goes down the middle of those helmets? You ever seen that thing? Looks like a red mohawk. That's called a crista. And some of the, I've looked at different helmets that they wore, these first century infantrymen for the Romans, and some of them had that, some of them didn't. They had all kind of different helmets. They were made out of leather, and then they'd put bronze or some kind of metal on top of that leather to protect your head. And I'm telling you something right now, listen to me. As burdensome and as cumbersome as you would say sometimes a helmet is, and I don't want to fool with it, and I'm going to sweat, and this thing is heavy, and this thing bothers my neck, You do not want to go into combat without your helmet on. And I want you to notice what this helmet is likened to. It says, take the helmet of salvation. That'd be a pretty good, important piece of armor, wouldn't it? Brother Matheson, would you pray for this? We're not going to be long here tonight. We'll cover this, but I want you to pray for this, and then we'll get started.
Father, thank you for the opportunity to meet together tonight.
Yes.
Thank you for this message you give to Brother Lowell to preach. I pray that you give him clarity of mind and loosen his tongue that he may speak unto the world.
Please.
To God, that he might have
please.
Power from on high. Declare unto us what thus saith the Lord. Father,
yes.
I pray that you'd help us to have humble minds and believing hearts to receive the truth tonight.
Yes.
That we would not neglect this, put it aside, that God, we would manfully embrace it, make it part of our life.
Amen, amen. All right, this would be the last piece you'd put on before you grabbed up your sword and you'd go into battle. And I want you to understand that when the Roman soldier wore this piece of armor, he wore it for physical protection. He's trying to keep his head protected. You know, you have the breastplate of righteousness, which is protect your heart and your vitals. And then you have your helmet on to protect your head. I mean, you know, they got swords and spears and they're shooting arrows at you and all that kind of stuff. So he wants to have something on his head to protect him when he goes into battle. Now, when he talks about protecting your head, and listen, you have to understand the spiritual significance of this. When Paul talks about protecting your head and with a helmet, he calls it the helmet of salvation. Now, everybody that he instructs to put on this armor is already saved. Everybody that he instructs to put on this armor has already got salvation. He's not telling you, he's not telling a Christian here to put on the helmet of salvation, as in get saved before you go into battle. You're already saved. And you're saved and you're supposed to go get this armor. Remember, I told you way back yonder when we started this thing that armor doesn't do you a bit of good just looking at it in the corner. If you say, boy, that's some shiny armor. Look how nice that is. Boy, ain't that great. That's something. Man, that stuff's 1,000 years old. That doesn't mean anything. You have to put the armor on. You have to put on, and he says, put on every piece of it. So when he gets ready to talk to you about a helmet, listen to me now, something that's protecting your head, something that's protecting your brain, something that's protecting your mind, he calls it the helmet of salvation. So this thing isn't just, listen, it's not just for physical protection. It's got to be some kind of mental thing. Listen, if you go into battle, and we have some men sitting here tonight, and I never did. I've never been in a battle, but I'm looking at some men that have been in battle. Now, you know something, if you men, and I don't want to bring up any thing, make you have bad memories or whatever, but all of you men in here that's been in battle, there's something you know that just as important as going into battle, having your all your gear, having your weaponry, having everything locked and loaded, having everything good, you got to have your mind right for battle. Whatever, would all you men that's been in battle say amen to that? You've got to have your mind on the battle. You can't have it back at home somewhere. You can't be worrying about this or worrying about that. You have to have your mind on the battle. And if you don't have your mind on the battle, you're going to be a sitting duck to the enemy. I think that this helmet right here, when you're talking about the helmet of salvation, there's some kind of something you have got to have right in your mind to do battle against the devil. It's the helmet of salvation. You already have salvation, but you're going to have assurance of your salvation. And it's not just having assurance of your salvation. It's knowing that you're saved when you go into battle that gives you, I believe, hope and encouragement to continue to fight the battle. I'm going to tell you why I believe this. Take your Bible and turn over to 1 Thessalonians. Just hold your place and turn back here in a moment. I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 8. Here to another church in Thessalonica, Paul mentions this helmet again. He mentions the breastplate of faith. Or he calls it the breastplate of faith and love. Over here, it's the same thing as the breastplate of righteousness. But I want you to notice what he says about this helmet. He mentions it again over here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 8. Now notice what he says. He says, but let us who are of the day. See, he's talking to saved people. This again, this has got nothing to do with a fellow getting saved so he can do battle. He's already saved. I'm not putting on getting practical righteousness and all that. You have the imputed righteousness of Christ to be saved. You already have the faith that you put in Christ to be saved. All this armor is for a fellow that's already saved, but it's in some way where he's going from his position to his practice. It's not just the imputed righteousness of Christ. He's living righteous. It's not just the holiness that God gives him, which is only the holiness of God that can get a man into heaven, but it's his personal holiness. He's making practical application of what's already went on inside of him. But notice what he says there. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. And watch this. And for an helmet. Now over here, notice what Paul says. He calls it the helmet of salvation. What does he say over here when he mentions that helmet again? And for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, what does Paul also tell us as Christians that we're to be looking forward to? That's right, the blessed hope. And you know what the blessed hope is? That's the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the rapture. That's the coming back and getting us out of here. Amen. And we are to be looking for that blessed hope. Now, he calls that helmet. He's over there in Ephesians where we study, he calls it the helmet of salvation. But over here, he said, it's the helmet, the hope of salvation. Now listen, the way hope is used in the Bible, it's not like, okay, well, I hope it don't rain tomorrow. Or I hope the sun don't get past 100 degrees or whatever, you know, the temperature does. No, that's not the hope. That's not how hope is used in the Bible. Hope is a no-so thing. It's like my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. It's a no-so thing. In other words, I'm looking out yonder somewhere and I'm saying, what's got me motivated, what's making me continue to go on is that I've got hope. Listen to me. I've seen people have the worst things in life happen to them. The worst things you can imagine happen to them. And they continue on. But if you ever see a man or a woman lose hope, they can't go on. I've read stories of prisoners of war that was in that thing for 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 years. I've read about, oh, what's his name, that Roman, that guy over there in, is it Romania, torture for Christ, and some of those things like that. People go through that for years and years and years. And they're able to come back. And you know what it is? You can see somebody over here and you say, well, his life didn't look so bad. He didn't look like he was going through that much. And why would he give in? We were just talking about that. Why would he commit suicide or whatever? Because something happens in a person's life where they lose hope. Now, if you're sitting here tonight and you say, there's never been a time in my life when I got like that, I've never lost hope. Then, like I said a while ago, before you leave here tonight, maybe you'll spend some time up here at this altar and thanking God you never got there. Because I have. You get to a place where you lose hope, you're finished. I'm going to tell you why this piece of armor is so important. It's what keeps you going. It's the hope of your salvation. I know I'm saved, and this world is crummy, and it's getting worse by the day, and everything's caving in on me, and I'm under all this strain, under all this stress, and this suffering, and this pain. But no matter what's going on in my mind, and what's going on in my body, and what's going on in my spirit, I also got something in my head. I am mentally in the game. You know why? Because I'm a winner either way, whether I go or whether I stay. I've read the back of the book and we win. That's what keeps you in the battle. That's what keeps you fighting. That helmet of salvation, you've got to know that you're saved. Remember, I preached not just a few Sundays ago about having assurance of your salvation. That is very important. If you're not assured of your salvation, you're not going to fight a good fight. You're saying, why am I worried about fighting? Why am I worried about doing something for God? I don't even know if I'm going to heaven or not. You get assurance of your salvation. And once you get assurance of your salvation, that does something to you. That's why this thing is on your head. If I'm going to fight, if I'm going to be in a battle, I've watched these. Any of you ever seen what they call it, BUDS, where they go do show you the training of the Navy SEALs? Let me tell you what I found out when I watched these training of the Navy SEALs and these folks, these other folks. I think they're tougher than the Navy SEALs, in my opinion. They call them the PJs, the folks that jump out of the plane and they go in there and rescue people. And, you know, these folks that go in the Delta Force and all these kind of things like that. Listen, they do all that training. They go through all that. And If they don't do that training, trying to think about how I was trying to make a point and it just left me. I think my sugar's going down just a little bit. Any of you know what I was trying to say? I was talking about watching the Navy SEALs do all that training. Well, anyway, it must not have been that important. I'm getting old, brother. Anyway, it was a good point, I thought, anyway. The hope of salvation. But anyway, you need the hope of salvation. This is a hope-so thing. Okay, I know what I was trying to say. What I was trying to say is I've watched all this buds training. I've watched these people jumping out of the planes. I've watched all that. And this is what all those instructors continually say. They say this. They say, you cannot pick who's going to make it and who ain't. He said that all of them folks that train these Navy SEALs, he says you never can pick them. You'll see a fellow over here, he's just burning through the cycles, and he just nothing bothers him or whatever, and all of a sudden one day he'll just quit. He said you'll see a fellow over here, he's a runt, he can't keep up with nobody, he can't hardly carry his load, but he just ain't going to quit. There's no quitting him. He's going to die before he quits. He said you can never call it. You know what that is? That's this. That means that more important, I mean, obviously, everybody knows that no matter what my mindset is, okay, I can't be a Navy SEAL. All right, we know that. You know that. But it ain't just your physique, because I've seen them come in there when they were doing that training. Many of them, I mean, big, strong men, not an ounce of fat on them, could run many miles and do all these push-ups and whatever. You know what they do? They ring the bell. I'm out of here. I can't make it. And I've seen some little old fella, you say, you watch him when he starts the training on this video, you say, man, he won't make it 2 weeks. He finishes. You say, what is the difference? Why can some of them make it and some of them can't? I think majority of it ain't in here. That's right, brother. It's right up here. I'm telling you, just like that Navy SEAL or that PJ, that parajumper or whatever, the key to staying in the battle spiritually is you got to have things right up here. And if you get messed up here, you're out. That's why this helmet is so important. It's the hope of our salvation. You know why I can fight every day, no matter what's coming against me? Because of this. I know I'm saved. I know that I'm going to heaven when I die. And this is what I know. No matter how bad it is, one day, I'm going to lay it all down. It's going to be over, and I'm never going to have to worry about it again. That's my hope. I've got my mind in the battle. I've got something to keep me going. Because I told you, a person cannot make it when they lose hope. I don't care how much food they got. I don't care how many friends they got. I don't care how much family they got. I don't care how much money they got, what kind of home they live in. If that dude loses hope, he's finished. And you can have somebody over here, and they ain't hardly got nobody. They just got a shack down by the river, ain't got two pennies to rub together, failing health and everything. And as long as they got hope, they'll keep going. You've got to have hope. And there's no reason for any Christian in here tonight not to have hope. You've got it. If you're saved, hope lives within you. The blessed hope, he's coming back. Man, that's good. I'm going to say one more thing. We'll get ready to wrap this up here tonight. I want you to think about Goliath. Apparently, where he messed up was he didn't have his helmet on. Because when you start reading that story over there, you know, the thing winds up that, you know, when he was, if you read the story about David and Goliath, Goliath is sitting down. I don't even think he has so much disdain and disrespect for this little boy David. He's sitting down. And then he got up and he goes out there to face him. But at one time, if you go back and read that story, Goliath had his helmet on. It says in 1 Samuel 17:5, and he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. So apparently when that thing starts, he's got a helmet. And it looks like to me, it doesn't exactly say that. I guess the stone could have got in there somewhere. But it looks like to me, you know what it looks like to me? That Goliath was so confident and so cocky that he had a helmet on and then he sits down. And what would you, what do you soldiers, you folks in here that are soldiers, what do you do when you get a rest break or you get to sit down somewhere? What do? Take that helmet off, don't you? He's sitting over there and listen, oh, that boy's running his mouth, blah, blah, blah. He took his helmet. He had his helmet on. It looks like he takes the thing off, and he's sitting over there, and he said, I'll kill this joker, and he jumps up, and he runs at him. And you know, I know he takes his sword, and he cuts his head off, but you know what puts him on the ground? You know what whips him? A stone in the head. You reckon if he'd had his helmet on, he wouldn't have died? I know God was going to kill him. I understand all that. You know what that is? It's burdensome. I don't need it. I've got the shield. I got the leggings. I got everything. Let me tell you something. No matter what kind of weaponry you got, no matter what kind of, listen to me now. I'm making my final closing statement here. I'm a trial lawyer here, okay? No matter what kind of weaponry you got, no matter what kind of machinery you got, no matter how good you're trained or whatever, no matter what you've got, if you want to fight a good battle, you have to be right up here. And any of you men that's been in battle, that's been around somebody that wasn't right up here, I don't care how well he was trained or how well he was equipped, he couldn't fight it. Do you know what's kept me through some dark days when my circumstances are coming down on me? God has just through his grace and mercy helped me to keep my mind in the battle. Keep my mind in the battle. He said, how did he help you keep your mind in the battle? I put that helmet on. That thing's the helmet of the hope of your salvation. So when the devil's coming, boom, boom at my head, it's like I'm saved, devil. I'm going to heaven. And I have hope. I don't care what it looks like out here in this world or how down I am or how many problems I got. I have hope. And it's not all, well, I hope it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. That's my blessed hope. And that's what keeps you in the battle. So I would issue this to you tonight before we close. If there's any child of God in here tonight and you're struggling with this, maybe you've lost sight of the hope. Maybe through some depression or anxiety or the trouble of this world, you say, Brother Dennis, I'll be honest with you, I'm just mentally not in it. I'm just mentally not in it. Well, I'll tell you this, I've been there. Okay? I've been there. You, there may be a lot of things I don't understand, but that's one thing I do understand. And what I'd ask you to do tonight is just say, God, help me put that helmet on. And God, help me believe that that helmet of salvation, the hope of my salvation, is going to keep my mind straight. And just say, God, if you help me make it through yesterday, you'll help me make it through today. And God, if you help me make it through today, you'll get me through tomorrow. And God, if you'll get me through tomorrow and the next day, and one day, the trumpet's going to sound. Amen. And then I'll realize my salvation. I'll look at him face to face. And I'll be no longer walking by faith. He'll be right there. You've got to have that helmet. If you don't have your mind right, you cannot fight the good fight of faith. And you're not going to have your mind right. You're not going to have your mind right. If you don't know you're saved, and if you're not trusting and getting strength in that salvation. I'll say this and I'll close. Years ago, I was watching an old war movie. And I wouldn't recommend you watch it now. That was years ago when I didn't care what I watched, and it had profuse cussing and all in it. But it was a good war movie of Vietnam. And they were going into the last final battle scene in this movie. I don't know why this whole thing just stuck in my mind. I've never forgot it. And all of a sudden, this one guy gets his orders. I mean, you could hear the rockets, you could hear the gunfire. And man, if you watch this movie, you can tell it turns into just a horrible battle. But he gets his orders. He said, okay, the chopper's here, you're leaving. And he's like, oh, I can't believe that. He said, yeah, you don't have to go to this battle. You're out of here. You're going home. And he looks over at this other fellow who does go in the battle. He makes it out of the battle. He doesn't die, but boy, a lot of people do. He looks over at him. He said, let me tell you something. He said, you don't try to be no hero. He said, all that you've got to do is make it out of this battle and get back home. And he said, and the rest of your life is gravy. You know what you got to do tonight? Just make it through the battle and get home.
Amen.
And the rest of our life is gravy. How about that? All right, let's bow our head and close our eyes.